position to really succeed in the court, you know, playing me all those minutes to really experience how the NBA works, and I think I found my pace. Special shout out to Flip, Milt, and Glenn, obviously, for getting me here to Minnesota. You know, it's been a rough
piece of music.
You know, I got traded, everything like that.
They made it easy. Stage.
Minnesota made it really easy. I want to thank you, the training staff, keeping me healthy all year, you know, and strong, you know, allowing me to play all 82 games. Also, I want to thank all the fans from Canada, all the fans in Minnesota, you know, supporting me. always voted for me for Rookie of the Year, for the MVP of the All-Star Game. Who else is there? There's a lot of people that really helped me get here today, you know, so I want to thank everybody. Thank you, guys.
All right, we'll open things up to some questions from the media, and for that, we'll introduce Vice President of Communications, Brad Ryder. Brad?
Thank you, Alan. If you have a question, please raise your hand. Wait for Ashley and Jen to bring a mic around for you and state your affiliation before you ask your question. Thank you.
Andy Greeter with the St. Paul Pioneer Press right here, WIG. What does it mean to you to be the first player in franchise history to win this award?
It means a lot to me. I know it means a lot to the organization. You know, being the first player to win this award just should bring a lot of hope, you know, for the future of the Minnesota Timberwolves, you know, and give a lot of people a different look at things, you know, that this is the uprising. We got a lot of young talent, you know, and we accomplished a lot this year, all the young players. So moving forward, the future is promising.
John Krasinski with Associated Press. Andrew, when you talked about it a little bit, but the summer was a little bit crazy for you, kind of going through all the trade stuff. And then once you finally got here, how did your expectations for what the season was going to be like, what Minnesota was going to be like, kind of align with the realities now that you've been here for a year and experienced it?
Oh, yeah. My expectations were a lot different here than they would have been on Cleveland. You know, Cleveland playing behind, you know, the best player in the NBA would have been different than here, obviously. I came in here as a starter, you know, expected to do a lot more than I would have on the other team. You know, I think that's the thing that helped me grow a lot this year, you know, with all the minutes that comes with experience, you know, and wisdom playing the game. So I think that really helped me a lot.
Phil Irvin, FoxSportsNorth.com. You called winning this award the ultimate goal. Why does this mean so much to you?
Because there's not a lot of people that have done it, you know, especially being the first Canadian, you know, the first Timberwolf to accomplish and get this award. You know, that just shows how great it is.
Matthew Schnetti from TSN. Andrew, over here. Your coach and your general manager talked about you raising your game against the best in the league.
Yeah.
After so many questioned whether or not you could succeed mentally at this level, where did that drive come from?
So it was just competitive nature, really. You know, after every game, I talked to my dad, and he told me what I need to do, what I should do better. He never sugarcoats nothing with me. He's not going to just tell me everything's sweet. He's going to be honest with me what I need to do. And I think that's where I got my grind from, really. You know, I'm not really scared of nobody, no matter who I go up against. You know, I'm going to try and face them like I face anybody.
Don Mitchell, Fox 9. Hi, Andrew. Congratulations. This is kind of a follow-up to that question. When you faced the best in the NBA and you knew in your heart before that game that you could match up against them, which player perhaps was the one when you did match up and you did succeed that you thought to yourself, I've made it personally?
I would say the Cleveland game. You know, when the first time going to Cleveland facing LeBron, you know, I feel like I had a pretty good game, you know, and I think that gave me a lot of confidence, you know. And ever since then, you know, I think that my game has really, you know, moved on and got a lot better at certain things, and the game really slowed down for me.
Anyone else with a question? John?
Andrew, Milt called you a cornerstone. Flip mentioned face of the franchise. Do you welcome those kind of labels and those kind of expectations for a team that needs it going forward?
Definitely. You know, that's just motivation to my ears. You know, that wants me. I know I have a long way to go. You know, I'm young, only 20 years old. I got a long way to go. So that's just motivation, you know, for me to get better and really, those are big shoes that they just, you know, so I just got to get better. You know, become a better leader on the court, off the court, and try to hope for better things.
Andrew, back here again. You weren't shy about telling us that the Rookie of the Year was your first goal. What's the next goal?
A lot. next year, just, you know, have a better season, obviously, as a team, make the playoffs. You know, we had a lot of guys injured this year. That was unfortunate. I think that slowed us down a lot. So make the playoffs next year, become a better teammate, a better leader, you know, do more for everyone around me, make the All-Star game, because in Toronto, obviously, so I think that'll be a big, big accomplishment for me if I can make it.
Any other questions? Okay. Thanks, Alan. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you.
Anybody else coming up to the podium?
No.
You know what? Let's take a quick break then. And if there is, we'll get back to it and fill you in. Take a quick break. When we return, we're going to be joined by Chris Thomason from the Pioneer Press. He'll give us the latest on the Vikings' plans for the draft. Come right back with Chris Thomason. And if there's more Wiggins talk, you'll get that too.
Pure.
We are joined by Chris Thomason of the Pioneer Press. Chris does, if he knows as much about what goes on with the Vikings as anyone in the media. And Chris, you actually, I just took a look at your mock draft. I like the way you have it falling, and you do have Trey Wayans, quarterback from Michigan State, going to the Vikings 11. And that is that with the presumption they will stay at 11, or even if they drop down a few spots, do you think he'd still be there?
Well, all I can do is project on where they're picking now, and of course on my mock draft, if I have a good line for somebody, I'll throw them in there. So that's how I do that. But they could trade down and still get Wayans. I mean, maybe trade down to 14 with Miami. Miami, after losing Deion Jordan, might want to try to get one of those defensive players, one of those edge rushers. And there's the good old Browns at number 12. I mean, they always trade with the Browns when the Browns are one notch behind them.
And that's right.
The Browns certainly don't need a cornerback in Trey Wayne. They just took a cornerback last year with the number 8 pick. So if they flip-flop with the Browns certainly aren't taking Wayne at 11. So, you know, maybe that's a possibility. Of the three guys probably most likely to go to the Vikings, Trey Wayans, Brandon Scherff, and Devontae Parker, I would say the most likely that they could trade down, still get him, would be Wayans.
You know, and also looking at your draft, and he does make a lot of sense for them. I have seen some mock drafts where Bud Dupree went as high as 5th, but other drafts, they have them where you do, in that 15 to 16 range. Why can people get a good handle on this guy of, you know, there's not a consensus, I guess, is what it is. Yes, he's a top 15 to 20 pick, but some people have him way up and some people have him in that mid-range. He seems to be the guy that bounces around the most on mock drafts.
Well, I think Rick Spielman spoke well about tweeners, as he called them, at his press conference the other day. And he was referring to a lot of those edge rushers. I mean, okay, are these guys defensive ends? Are they outside linebackers? How are they going to fit into a scheme? So that's, you know, one team really might like Dupree in the top 10 because he fits into their scheme, but then possibly you might have a run of teams where he doesn't fit into their scheme. You know, either they do or don't play a 3-4. And Spielman, you know, said of the edge rushers, they wouldn't draft one who doesn't fit into their scheme.
Yep. Now, talking to Chris,
that has a lot to do with it.
Talking to Chris Thomason from the Pioneer Press. Now, Chris, you have Winston going to Tampa Bay, Marcus Mariota to Tennessee, Jacksonville, Dante Fowler Jr., Mari Cooper to Oakland, Leonard Williams to Washington, and then Todd Gurley going to the Jets. How far down in your mock draft would you have to go for you to say, I'm surprised that they didn't do this? It could happen as early as the 3rd pick, right?
That they didn't do what?
Well, they didn't do that. How confident are you with the first? How many picks down are you real confident this is going to happen? And then where would you be surprised at, you know, what pick would it be where you would say, boy, I didn't see that coming?
Oh, no, I'm not saying I'm tremendously confident. I mean, I haven't been invited into anybody's war room. I would love to if they want to invite me, but you know, Gurley at six, that could be a little high. You know, I think it's an intriguing pick for the Jets, who they can't throw the ball, they can't run the ball, and if there's no quarterback available, why not take a running back? But if he doesn't go at that spot, you know, he might not go for another, you know, 10, 11 spots. He might not go until Houston at 16 or San Diego at 17.
Now, I threw this out earlier as a potential scenario, and tell me if you think it's crackpot to say or if there's a possibility. We know that Mike Zimmer wants to keep Adrian Peterson. I think he's the only guy on that team that is absolutely, you know, wants to keep him because he could be a terrific running back for him. What if there was a compromise that Spielman made a deal with Tampa Bay for their second, third, and, you know, they have one of the best, I mean, their 34th overall, and get a few other draft picks, and the compromise was Gurley or Melvin Gordon and trade Adrian Peterson to Tampa Bay. Is that a crackpot thing to say, or is that a scenario that could happen?
Well, Rick Spielman, if he said on Tuesday he's not going to trade Adrian Peterson,
he probably is,
and he turns around 2 days later and trades him, I mean, that's going to hamper his credibility.
No,
I mean,
that's just, he has no credibility.
Well, I mean, yeah, I talked to your good buddy Chuck Foreman, and he, you know, he said that would hurt his credibility. I mean, the way he said it definitively, I mean, I would be very surprised if he just turned around and traded him right then, because he easily could have just, you know, danced around it, but he didn't.
No.
So, but you know, we'll see. I mean, I'm not going to call anything crackpot. We'll see how things unfold. I saw something on Pro Football Talk where Chris Carter, who's close to the Vikings, doing is saying something like, "Oh, I know what's going to happen to Adrian Peterson, but I can't say."
He just so, did.
Well, we'll find out. I mean,
I don't understand. You know what? But Chris, talking to Chris Thomason from the Pioneer Press, I have seen it before, and I can't give you the instance, but where he did something after he said he wouldn't, and he gives you that smile. I'm talking about Spielman now. Well, things changed. You know, he said our intent, they have no intention and not interested in trading him. Well, we got a deal that we didn't expect, and it was too good to pass up. It's easily, I don't think he hurts his credibility, and everyone expects GMs to throw up smoke screens and lie this time of the year. If they have one time of the year where they can, you know, they can lie, it's around the draft, because things change quickly, and they're not really held, they're not held accountable when they do something they claim they won't do.
Well, what pick are you suggesting that they're going to get in your alleged crackpot?
In my alleged crackpot one, they work out a deal, because Tampa, all right, Tampa gets Winston first overall, right?
Right, sure.
Okay. Let's go through the receivers they have. They got the kid that was Manziel's receiver, right? Michael, what's it?
Mike Evans.
And they also have Vincent Jackson. You add Adrian Peterson to that offense, that's potentially an explosive offense. And I think we talked about this the other day. Coaches and general managers, they don't have the long shelf life they once did. They have to win, and they pretty much have to win now. So they want to turn this thing around in a hurry. And you have an offense or a defensive coordinator there, and Leslie Frazier, who is a big AP guy. And I'm sure good.
Here's what I would do if I were you. I would say definitively on the air what you think the deal will be. Make sure it's recorded.
I did.
Okay. And then, if you're right, I was just watching the Caught in the Draft last night where Mayock projected Aaron Rodgers in 2005, Green Bay, to 24, and they're still showing that tape 10 years later of him accurately predicting that when everybody thought he was crazy. Well, so save a tape, and then if you're right, we will be bowing down to you for the next 10 years.
Well, nobody's bowing down to me when I said last year, and it's on tape, the day of the draft they would pick Anthony Barr. No one saw that coming, or very few did.
But, okay, well, I'll just start my bowing now.
See? This is my guy. I love Chris.
But that's that's only worth 5 years of bowing,
all right,
not 10.
So. I agree. I'll tell you what. You're right. That could be a lifetime bow if they wind up getting from Tampa Bay and pick Gurley or Melvin Gordon as a compromise. Now,
well, yeah, I mean, if let's just say they do trade Peterson, I think for PR purposes, they need to come up with Gurley or Gordon and then sell it like, well, we hadn't intended to trade him, but then the scenario unfolded that one of these great backs fell into our hands.
See? I mean,
these guys are 20, 22. Peterson's 30. These guys will be good for the next 10 years, this guy. So,
Chris, you know what? You have said it's, you're not going to call it a crackpot. I think when this does happen, you can take some credit, too, for agreeing with it. So this could make both of us, or destroy us, either one.
Well, I'll just see what happens, and then if need be, I'll start genuflecting at 9:30 p.m. tonight or whenever it's possibly going to happen.
All right, now let me ask you this, because I noticed several weeks ago, and we talked about this a little earlier, Max Williams was showing up at the end of some first rounds. Did you debate about putting him in, or why has he fallen out of favor? He didn't do anything wrong, and he didn't do anything differently. Max Williams, of course, the tight end from Minnesota. To not be in your first round mock draft, he just doesn't fit somewhere.
You know, you always have like 40 guys who are first rounders,
yeah.
And you can't have any ties to the 32nd position. So he could just get squeezed. I mean, his 40 yard dash time at the combine wasn't the greatest, but it could work to his advantage that he's by far the best tight end available, and if there's a team at the end of the first round that really wants a tight end, they might say to themselves, we better get this guy because there's no one else worth a damn at the position in the draft. But I don't know if there's anybody necessarily in that range that's trying for a tight end.
Now
he might be the type of guy that goes early in the second, but a team maybe like swings the deal to put themselves in position to get him or something like that.
Again, talking to Chris Thomason from the Pioneer Press. Let's just look at your first round. What guy do you see, or maybe a handful of them, that you feel will far exceed where they're drafted? You know, like with Teddy Bridgewater, the last pick of the first round, clearly based on what he did, he'd go much higher if there was a reshuffling of the draft and they drafted those same first rounders over again. Who do you think, what guys you think will be like that after this season coming up?
Well, I mean, first of all, if I thought they were going to highly exceed now where I projected them, I probably would have picked them way earlier, I will say, a guy like Shane Ray, who obviously was being looked at as a top 10 guy.
You got him going 21.
Everybody seemed to be earmarking him for number 8 to Atlanta, and then he does the boneheaded move of gets arrested for pot possession on Monday. I have him now still in the first round at number 21 to Cincinnati. He might not even go in the first round.
Chris, you got to let me read what you wrote about him. I love the line you have here. 21, Cincinnati, Shane Ray, outside linebacker, Missouri. Players often get in trouble after they join the Bengals. Ray, that's a good line.
yeah. It's like, well, they're going to get in trouble anyway, so what does it matter if he's already in trouble?
It's a great line because it's so true. They have so many guys that get in trouble, but this guy's already in trouble, so he's a perfect Bengal.
Yeah.
that's a very good one. Now, the other thing that about, and it's a lot of these mock drafts, all of a sudden, again, I'll go back several weeks, there were not as many offensive linemen or tackles going in the first round, but many of the mock drafts, including yours, they're starting to show up. And wide receivers, too, beyond the top three. Some people now, it seems like they've moved, they've actually moved things around among the receivers, and some people are putting Breshad Perriman from Central Florida ahead of Devontae Parker. You did not, which I agree with.
Yeah, he was kind of a late rising guy, Perriman, because everybody was talking about a top three. And then some people just call it a top two with Amari Cooper and Kevin White, but some others put Devontae Parker into that particular group. But then, some people are saying Philip Dorsett is another guy who's really starting to climb, who wasn't getting a lot of thought as a first-round guy. I don't have him in my first round. But, there could be 5-6 receivers going in the first round, no doubt.
Well, I mean, it's going to be – I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun draft. I know you'll be over it. One of the things I like about not having to cover the draft is I don't have to be over there. Although, I'm guessing they do put a nice feed bag on for the draft night or for draft night.
Well, I asked Bob Hagan what type of pizza they'll have, because during the season, if the Vikings win, they have the same pizza the next week for the media. So I told Hagan, well, you guys kind of won the first round last year, so you probably need to have the same pizza that you did last year tonight.
The thing you can count on, Bob Hagen's the PR director for the Vikings. He is a pizza connoisseur. So whatever the pizza is, it's going to be a good one because it's going to be one he likes and knows very well. And Bob can pick out pizza. He's a man after my own gut when it comes to pizza.
Yeah, what I've learned, that according to Bob Hagen, is the only good pizza is cut into squares. Apparently, if it's cut into slices, then it isn't any good.
He and I differ on that one, because I am a big slice guy. Chris, I love talking to you, because you have the great information in the newspaper when you join us. Thanks so much, Chris Thomason from the Pioneer Press.
All right, really appreciate it. Thanks, Bob.
All right, take care, Chris. We will take a quick break, and when we return, we got a little threesome, maybe a little D-bag of the day. And we want to hear from you, too, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. Who do you think the Vikings are going to take? This is your opportunity to weigh in. And you know what? If we, we still have those Northern Invasion tickets? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Either way, give us a call, 651-989-9105.
Joined Radio X.
3, oh, it's the magic number. Yeah, it is.
Time is money. Money is power. Power is pizza. Pizza is knowledge. Let's go.
Love pizza. Love it. All right, we got a little threesome here. We got some callers. Let's hear the. We'll have them answer the questions, too. Let's hear the question, the first one.
Good afternoon, Bob.
Good afternoon.
A few questions for you.
Yeah.
Number one, the Titans are reportedly fielding offers from the Jets and the Browns. If you were the Titans, which offer would you be interested in?
Also, the Rams are in there.
If I were I'd be interested in one that gives me the most. If you're going to give me the two first-round picks, if you're going to give me anything that involves more than one first-round pick, I'm listening. And I also, I want more than that, too, because when you've got that many teams, you just keep raising the ante until only one team's left. And chances are the offers they're getting are acceptable now. Let's go to it's Logan's on line one, right? Logan, how are you?
Hello, Bob.
Hey, you got to enjoy Slipknot Death Punch? What is it? No, Slipknot, Five Finger Death Punch. What's the other one?
Volbeat,
and more stuff.
I tell you what, I'm going to go up there for the weekend and I'll enjoy myself either way.
So you know all these bands?
I listen to quite a bit of them, yep.
Good for you. All right, well, I hope you do enjoy it. Now tell me, I'm going to ask you, we're not going to ask you the question that we just did there. Who do you think the Vikings should take and will take?
I'd like to see him with Trey Waynes.
Well, that's
we've got too much competition in our own division.
I agree.
And we got to have a little more depth back there. I mean, even if he's not an every down player out of the get-go.
Well, I think he would be.
Okay. Well, I hope he is, but even if we got to get him trained up a little, I think those last few games at the end of the season, we're going to need all the help we can get.
And the other thing is, I mean, Josh Robinson's got speed, and he's not a bad cornerback if they had a 5'9" or 5'10" height limit for wide receivers. He just can't, he cannot hang with those 6'5" guys. Because if you're in the NFL, you've got a vertical. I mean, I'm sure his vertical is pretty darn good too, but it's a lot different when you're 5'8" like he is, or whatever it is. And as Zimmer said, you can't coach height. He's giving away 6 to 7 inches, and then even if they both leap 40 inches, he's still giving away 6 to 7 inches. So I think that's the biggest problem.
I agree with you, and I'm just looking forward to tonight. I think it's going to be a nice night.
I am, too. I'm very interested in what happens with AP, if anything, and who they wind up with. Hey, thanks a lot, and enjoy those. Enjoy the concert.
Yeah, have a good night. Thanks.
All right, you too. Q2, question number two.
Oh, you want to hear it? You can't just guess what it is?
Well, let me guess. It has something to do with the Vikings.
Yes.
Number two, Rick Spielman hinted at the possibility of a trading down. How far do you think they're willing to go?
If there is a guy that they think they can get by trading down, it's someone that, they could take at 11, but they think he'll be there. I don't think, he threw out the number 17. He said, well, I'll take anything of this, but that's as far as he would go. I would think it would be more, they're at 11. I don't think he'd go any deeper than 15. Particularly for a guy like Wayans. And I would not be surprised if, I mentioned it earlier, if San Francisco also can use a cornerback, that they maybe like Marcus Peters, and move up. They may feel that someone will jump in there, or the Vikings might take him and want to assure themselves of getting him. Because he grew up in Oakland. He's had some issues, but there's a belief that if he got home, his family it may be good to have that support staff. So that's a possibility, too, of them flopping. I think San Francisco's a fit. No, Is Miami at 15? Was Miami at 4? I got to take a look.
Miami's
here.
At 14.
Okay, and San Francisco is at 15. 15. Yeah. So I could see that as a possibility of doing a deal with San Francisco.
You know, it seems that the Vikings really do like Trey Waynes, but there have been a pretty large number of cornerbacks that have kind of worked out their way into the first round. It used to be just Marcus Peters, Trey Waynes. Now you're seeing Eric Rowe, Eric Johnson. What's the guy?
Well, the thing
Byron
is,
Jones from Connecticut.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if they waited until the second round to do something on cornerback.
P.J. Williams or Ronald Darby are going to be there in the second round, most likely. So
if you,
there's a lot in this draft for cornerback.
There is, and I'm not. I think, well, every year somebody slides. They may wind up jumping on a guy who they didn't expect to be there at all.
I think Jalen Collins is another one from LSU.
Yeah, I think he's going to slide quite a bit.
No, that's Lyle Collins.
Oh, are you talking?
There's
Jalen,
another Jalen. There's two Jalens. Jalen Strong's
receiver.
Oh, you're
talking Lyle Collins.
Jalen Collins.
It sounds like the Superman dad's name, Correll. Lyle. L-A-apostrophe-E-L. He's the one that left Chicago because the police wanted to talk to him about him. And it's not funny at all, but about the murder of his pregnant ex-girlfriend. And he's trying to get into the supplemental draft and being taken out of the draft, but I don't think the NFL is going to let that happen.
No.
Somebody will wind up drafting him somewhere. And most likely, though, there's been talk he could slide entirely out of the draft. Again, like we said, someone, unless the league has sent the word out, and they may have, we don't want anyone to draft this guy because we don't want to condone, although he's not a suspect, according to the police.
Just a person of interest.
Yeah. Then again, many people aren't suspects until after they interview him.
Yeah.
Then things change. So, all right, what do we got? Number three in the
and
question.
And finally,
yes, sir.
If the Vikings do trade Adrian Peterson during round one, do you think the Vikings will draft his replacement on the same day?
Yes, I do. I think if they wind up trading Adrian Peterson tonight, they will wind up with Todd Gurley or Melvin Gordon. Those are pretty two darn good running backs.
It'd be a decent transition to go from AP to one of those guys because they both seem to have the talent to stick around the NFL for a decent amount of time. It's like from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck.
I would also go so far as to say this, and I doubt they would do it, but I honestly don't know who they have higher on their draft board. A lot of people saying Gurley's a better pick than Gordon. Gordon's terrific. If they had him rated highly, why wouldn't you look and a guy who could be an impact player, why wouldn't you consider taking him? And you keep Adrian Peterson, let him play behind him, let him be your third down back. You know, no offense to Jerick McKinnon, but if you have a guy that's a lot better, you'd take him. And he could replace AP in a year or two. I don't know that AP is going to finish, even if he starts the year with him, he may not finish it because they may wind up doing something before the trade deadline. We don't know what's going to happen with AP. Though Chris Carter knows.
He does.
He has inside info.
But he's not going to talk about it.
He's not going to talk about it, but he's going to tell you he's got inside info that AP is going to go. I do think he's being traded. You know, I'm tell you what, Chris Thompson's right. We're going to look pretty damn good if they make a deal with Tampa Bay and they wind up taking one of those running backs.
We'll play that back quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. We'll be all over that one. So what do you think? And I'll throw it out to people too. 651-989-9105. 651-989-9105. Let's start with this question. Is the likelihood higher that the trade is announced tonight or tomorrow if there is a trade?
I would say tonight.
Just to get it done. So
yeah, if it gets through tonight, I don't think it's going to happen at all.
I think it still could because you're still talking about good picks if it's a team like Tampa Bay with an early pick. Let's see who that is. Hello.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on the Vikings.
Please do. What do you think?
I think they're going to trade down tonight.
How far would you go?
Well, I would make two trades down. I'd get about as low as I can get because nobody's brought up what they need the most. They don't have a starting guard.
You're talking left guard and right guard or just left guard?
No, this is what I think they're going to do.
Go ahead.
I think what I would do. They got Lake and Tomlinson high on the list.
Yep.
They also have Ali Marpet high on the list. I don't think that he. I think they originally thought that he was going to go into the second round. I don't think he'll make it to the second round. I think that if they pick up Marpet with Tomlinson, and then get a tight end after that, I think they're going to do fine. They got to shore up the offensive line. They got defensive backs that can play. They can get those in the third and fourth round. they got to have a guard. They don't have anybody. Think about that one. They lost Johnson. They, they can cut him. I think Tomlinson's the most likely choice. If they can go down as low as they can get maybe 2 to 3 extra draft choices, get down to the 28th position and pick him, and then get Marpet in the second round instead of the third.
Well, this Tomlinson's not even, I mean, has he been in any mock draft? You're talking about, Lakin Tomlinson from Duke.
Yep, he's been, they're thinking about Baltimore maybe, but he's the best, in my opinion, the best guard.
Yeah, he's ranked the top guard in the draft.
I think he's the best. I think he's as good, if not better, than Sheriff from Iowa. The Sheriff can't do a few things. He's a bigger guy. But Marpet is very similar to Sheriff. They've had very good success with small college players. He drafted out better than any guard at the combine. I think that they would love to have him around, and I think they get him in the second round. I think they're going to try to get an offensive lineman. They could go way down and pick up Tolson and get draft choices. I think that would be the wisest choice.
Well, but
there's nobody else they can get in this draft. That's the biggest hole they got. They have nobody at guard that can start.
Well, what about now? Right now, Tomlinson's projected to be a mid-second round pick, so he could be there when they pick in the second round.
Well, ESPN had him going in the low round of the first round, and there's nobody else other than Marpet, and I don't think they could justify, and he may be gone. There's nobody else in that area that they could get that could come in and start right away, and I project that they're going to try to get Tolson. They've had him in, and they rate him very high right now, and I think that would be their wisest choice.
Well, Marpet is, the kid from Hobart you're talking about.
Yes.
I mean, he could actually, according to some projections, he's projected to be early third round, so you think he can go in the first round too?
I think that he will go in the higher to middle second round.
I'll tell you, you know why I like Tomlinson, by the way? The kid's studying to be a doctor. So you're getting brains, and presumably you're getting a guy with a high IQ and a guy who's gonna, who's not gonna embarrass you and screw up. Maybe he can help Khalil.
Offensive linemen generally have a tendency not to fail as much as cornerbacks or wide receivers. And I also think they definitely need a playmaking tight end that can catch the ball that doesn't get injured, like Funches from Michigan.
You know, I got to be honest, I'd love to talk to you about it for the next 10 minutes, but we're up against the break now. This is great. Thank you for this. And we're going to talk to Jim Suhan, but after that, we're going to have Jack Jablonski. We're going to talk to him about the draft and the Wild coming up. So call back at our last segment. That'd be great. You know what you're talking about. We're going to take a quick break, come right back, talk to Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune, SuhanUnfiltered.com, and Jim's segment is sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa. We'll be right back with Jim. We are joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa. Built in Canada, the Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters and every season. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. Now, Jim, we take requests here, and I know that you and I have a mutual Twitter follower in Doc, and he is not requesting. He's demanding we talk Wild before we talk NFL. So what's the latest with the Wild?
Well, I think they have a game tomorrow. That's the rumor.
Wow. See, Doc, we told you we'd talk about them.
Absolutely. I will say that, the third year in a row I've been in Chicago for a Wild Blackhawks playoff series. This is the first time I've been in Chicago and actually had any sense that the Wild might actually have a chance to win. I actually thought the Wild overachieved by taking that series last year with the six games in the overtime of the sixth game because the goal, it's remarkable they got that far with that goaltending. I mean, nobody trusted Brizgalo. Kemper, as we saw this year, wasn't the most reliable guy to have to lean on in a playoff series. I thought they overachieved, and the fact that they played them that tough with those goalies and with the lack of depth at forward, this is a terrible matchup for this team right now. Physically, it's a better matchup than the Blues series. The difference is that the Blackhawks are actually very good competitors and very classy competitors, and the Blues are a bunch of dogs.
but these are the same. That's a great way to put it. These are the same competitors, though, as you noted, that they faced last year for the most part, and Chicago's goaltending was steadier than it has been. So, and as you mentioned, the Wild goaltending being a lot better, they really could. This could be one hell of a run they have.
It could be. Like, and I think it's going to be a great series because Chicago's, these are two really skilled teams. Chicago's even more skilled in the Wild. They play a really entertaining style. They're not just trying to drag you down. They're also trying to score. They're trying to play a fast pace. Two very fast teams. And you brought up the main reason for optimism. This year, the Wild actually has an advantage in goal. And, you know, I know Chicago, I know Quinville's trying to spin it that he has two goalies you trust, but that's just a lie. If you're not playing one guy all the time, you don't trust that one guy.
Yeah, and that's what's going to be the key. And we'll know tomorrow night to have a pretty good idea how, if the goaltending is still shaky for Chicago. This could really be, well, not a quick series for him necessarily, but you could get a lot of hope out of what happens tomorrow night. Now, tonight, your feelings about the Vikings, I mean, there's so much. You saw Chris Carter, I'm sure. He claims he has inside information that they're going to trade AP, though he can't talk about it, he pointed out. You know, an AP trade could have such a ripple effect to what they do and what happens. No AP trade, and, you know, I have no sense of what they're really going to do tonight and who they're going to pick. Last year, I did say they'd pick Anthony Barr, and they did. This year, there's any one of a number of guys they can go with.
Yeah, I really think they trade down unless there's a big surprise. I mean, like Amari Cooper slipping, which I don't think is going to happen, but it happens. I mean, we're surprised every year by who slips. I really think they trade down. I really hope they don't do what most people are predicting and take Trey Wayne to 11. I think you can get him or someone like him lower and get more value and pick up extra picks. As far as Chris Carter predicting that they're going to trade Peterson, I will say this. Chris has stayed in close contact with a lot of people in the Vikings organization. He's very tight with a lot of key people. You know, I would consider him to be a credible source on that one.
You know what? He's not going to throw that out unless he does know something, because he does have, I mean, I think it's important for him to be informed and to sound like he's informed. I don't think he would have thrown it out unless he has heard something's going to happen. And
I agree.
You know, and I don't know, you know, who knows what the team is. We keep hearing it won't be Dallas. The team, though, that just you keep wondering about is Tampa Bay, because they've got things they can move, like that second pick, the 34th overall. The Vikings would have to listen if that was the starting point of a trade.
Well, yes. Obviously, that would be ideal for the Vikings. That would be a slam dunk to me. The team that the interesting thing is, you know, if Tampa Bay trades for Peterson, they're making a mistake. That's the interesting thing. I mean, they're not ready to win yet. If they traded for Peterson, it would be to get 8 wins so they can all keep their jobs, which is a horrible way to run a franchise, but sometimes they're a horrible franchise. The team that makes the most sense is Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pick that's low in the round, so they don't feel like they're giving up that much. They have a very deep athletic roster. They can afford to give up a useful player without hurting their chances. They have a chance of winning that division or at least going to the playoffs. Peterson would completely change their offense. That's the most logical. I don't know if it's probably going to happen, but, you know, if you were just trying to figure out what makes the most sense, it would be the Cardinals stealing a pick or two.
But if you're okay, but let's look at it from Tampa Bay's perspective. They have, if they take Winston, they're going to buy in that he could be their quarterback and be a great one. They already have Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson. You get Adrian Peterson, you've got a passing game in their minds, and you've got the best running back in football. They may think they can turn things around very quickly. I mean, with Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson, you are talking about one of the best tandems in the league. For receivers.
You're absolutely right about that. Evans is a monster last year, and Jackson still has some tread on the tire. And you're right, maybe Lovey's thinking that because he's done it before, he can patch that defense together with spare parts. I disagree with him. I think they have very, very poor talent there, on the defensive side, and I think they have very poor depth. But again, you know, these guys almost have to be optimists to be in that business. They almost have to believe in their ability to win.
Yep.
And you're right. You know, they could talk themselves into believing what you just said.
Jim, who are you going to have Russo on with you during Suhan Unfiltered today?
Tomorrow. We're going to do a pregame tomorrow from the rink. And then I did Russo yesterday over at the Liffey. And then there's still Master Kostasian, who's going to be doing kind of leading the online draft coverage for the Star Tribune all weekend, starting tonight. You can find it all at StarTribune.com with him and Matt Benslow and Mark Craig and Mike Brand. He really broke down the draft on Tuesday at the website.
Okay, Jim, thank you. And I know this is a big night of drinking.
Yeah,
or carousing.
You know, drinking time is kind of wasted on me because I'm a lightweight. But I will have a good meal, I'll tell you that.
All right, well, enjoy the evening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Doc.
All right, Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa built in Canada. The Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters, and you know it can handle every season. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. We're going to come back with our hockey guy, Jack Jablonski. He's a big Viking fan, too. We got to get his take on the draft. We are back, and we are joined by our hockey expert slash maven, Jack Jablonski. Jack, let's get this out of the way first. What's the temp out in Southern Cal?
Oh, it's warm today. It's about 87 degrees, but it feels a lot hotter. So.
That's toasty.
It is toasty. I'm, you know, in and out of the shade, but for the most part, the shade is much more comfortable.
Now, Jack, you're finishing up your first semester at Southern Cal. Are any classes done yet? You still have finals in every class. I mean, where are you in terms of schoolwork?
I have finals in every class remaining, but that being said, I do finish. One of them is due tomorrow, so I'll be done with that class tomorrow, and then I've got two left that I have about around a week to complete the projects or assignments.
Wait a minute, so none of them are actually, where you go into class and you take a test, they're all projects and papers?
Yep, exactly.
Oh my God, that's so easy.
I know, it's a lot easier than having to test in class, so I'm happy about that, but it's going to be a lot of writing, but much better than sitting in class for a few hours taking a walk test.
Well, it's less pressure, right, because you have more time to work on it.
Exactly. You know, you got time to prepare and set up your answers and make sure everything is right about it. So,
all right, we're going to get to the Wild after this question. What is the assignment or the final for your journalism class?
For my journalism class, we have to take a news topic in the previous Wild that was had some controversy over it and analyzed how the news coverage was handled and where they could have improved and could have. Where we felt, you know, they were, you know, right on spot.
All right, so let me guess. You went with the Wild, whether or not they should have fired Mike Yeo as coach, and then they solved it by getting Devin Dubnyk as their goaltender. Is that what you went with?
You know, now that you say that, it would have been a good topic.
Rip it up and start over.
Well, I got a meeting in an hour, so you can always change the topic last minute.
Well, what is your topic?
That would be an interesting to cover. I don't even know yet.
You don't know? Well, there it is for you. Okay, how about this one? And you'll find out tonight, this is controversial. The top running back in the NFL uses a stick to beat his 4-year-old child. What do you do with him after something like that happens? There's another one.
Yeah, it's a good one. And I guess my short answer to that is you give him a second chance. You know, we all make
mistakes. There you go.
Exactly. No, I agree. I think, you know, by the end of tonight, we'll know if
he's gone.
Peterson is going to be playing with the Vikings or not.
But when is this one due? This one's not due tomorrow. That's not the one due tomorrow, is it?
No, the one due tomorrow has to do with solving pollution in Fresno.
Oh, my God, Jeff.
And it's a toughie, guys. It's impossible to solve it there.
Wait a minute. Oh, slap me awake. I'm dozing off just hearing the topic. No, I'm sure he did a great job with it.
Me too, man. It's tough, but I've got 5 or 6 pages done, so hopefully I can grind it out tonight and come home with a 4.0, right?
Jack, do that, but think about the AP or the O. The AP one is actually, that's golden for the journalism class because it goes beyond sports. It transcends sports in many ways.
I agree. No, it's super helpful towards information, and I have used it before, so good idea.
Oh, you've gone to that well before, the AP well, have you?
Oh, yeah.
Good for you. We have, too. All right, and now let me ask you this before we will get to the Wild, as I said, but will you watch the NFL draft tonight, or what will you be watching? There's no series left yet, right? Does anything start tonight?
Yeah, round 2 starts tonight. We've got Washington, New York, and then Anaheim, Calgary going up.
Oh, Anaheim, that's not that far down the road from you.
Not at all. We got about 40 minutes, so we'll be playing there. But I'll be flipping back and forth between the two games for the playoffs and the draft. I think it'll be especially interesting with the draft to see. Obviously, you've got the controversial topic of if Winston will go first, but
yep.
I think as of right now that you know the answer has been or that question has been answered. But then I think the next important thing is, you know, what happens with Mariota? You've got a lot of teams that need a quarterback, and then you've got Tennessee, who's in that spot. That there's all the talk about trading, and then the Chip Kelly situation. So that'll be a big highlight. And for the Vikings, I think it's most important that you've got to get an offensive line structured. You've got to keep Bridgewater on his feet, and you've got to give AP or whoever the running back is come week one, you know, time to develop plays.
Well, we talked to a guy earlier, and he made a good point. I mean, there are some good guards available, in, you know, not in first-round guys, but second-round guys. The thing is, though, everyone worries about Matt Khalil. If he doesn't get better, then should we be addressing left tackle? That's a do you give up on him already? I mean, some could argue you should have gave up on him last year.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess, like I said before, in a way, you have to give people second chances. He had a full bowl year his rookie year, and whether you've got D linemen and DNs that have solved him in the two coming years after that, it's interesting because, like AP, you know, I'm all about second chances, and you know he had a summer to regroup and recuperate into you know getting better. But I definitely agree with getting a left tackle or guard in the you know first three rounds or so to, just for a safety net.
Now, Jack, you just mentioned something, and I'm going to make a pitch for you to seriously consider doing your journalism paper on Adrian Peterson because you know him at a personal level, and that's something a lot of these people in your class, your classmates, don't have. Any sort of a not, they're just going to be writing about something they read about themselves. You have met him, and I know you have a great relationship with him. You could write from it from that perspective, too, of a guy that deserves a second chance, a guy that you know personally who is not, I mean, I know most people, a lot of people say he's not a bad guy. He did a bad thing, but it doesn't make him a bad guy. That's, I'm not kidding. I think you should seriously consider that as your topic if you don't have one already.
Yeah, it's a great point you make there because, I mean, obviously, thanks to you, I've been able to connect with him a little bit more and in the paper that you wrote regarding, you know, Adrian Peterson being the player of the year in 2012 or 2013, I'm blanking on the year, but, overall, and I know that you can back me up on this, for me, he's the nicest guy I've ever met. And obviously, we are all
then that, Jack,
by what happened.
All right, let's ask, isn't it a slam dunk to do this as his paper?
Because
you could give
I
a side
so.
To him. No, Jack, give it some serious thought. I know you have to meet with your guy in an hour, but I think give it some thought. Whatever you had, throw it out the window and think about AP. Now, we've got about 2 minutes left, so I better say, how about that Wild series starts tomorrow night? They're looking good to you in your mind, right?
Yeah, I'm very excited. Obviously, the last 2 years they played Chicago, and for many reasons, you know, we fell short. But you look at the off-season transactions and the upgrading and the youth of the Wild, you know, they grew in the playoffs last year. Niederreiter came out strong. He's had a good year this year. Zucker is back and healthy. Overall, you've got plenty of guys who didn't have a lot of play experience last year, and the veteran leadership in Chicago was able to overcome that. This year, you know, it looked a little different. You know, Patrick Kane still hasn't necessarily been himself, and overall, Hosa's gone a little quiet. Although Sharp has come back, he had a bad year this year. So there's a lot of facts and I guess a lot of signs that point to a Wild victory. And with a guy named Devin Dubnyk in net who is close to a Vezina Trophy this year, there's a lot to look forward to in the series.
Well, Jack, we appreciate it. Enough Wild talk. Do the paper on AP. If I can help you, I certainly will because I have some strong opinions, probably different from yours. But with the draft, it makes it topical. Jack Jablonski, we'll talk to you again next. We'll talk to you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, and I'm looking forward to when you come back home and you can join us in studio.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited to see you guys, and I'll be back May 13th.
Great.
So I'll be there soon.
All right, Jack, take care. Have a great, like I said, have a great weekend, and good luck on all these tests. We are, take care. We are, well, it's the end of the day for us. Big draft tonight. We'll be loaded tomorrow talking NFL draft. We're going to be talking Kentucky Derby, too. Remember, Mike Gelfand, who I worked with for about 25 years on the KQ Morning Show, will join us to talk about the Kentucky Derby. Mike always has a great take when it comes to horse racing. We'll talk to him. We're going to talk about the draft picks, of course. Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson will join you next from 4 to 7. I got a feeling the draft may come up during their time. A bit, quite a bit. Stick with us. We won't let you down. See you later.
Join the conversation on Twitter at 105theticket.
As the weather gets warmer, we spend more time outdoors. Here at Shamrock Golf Course, we hope you're out.